This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870 and a very, very happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. Glad you're with us today, talking sports right here on AM 870 WKAR. We're going to start out talking with our good friend Adam Ruff, and we'll talk with him about the last night's game with Boise State and Michigan State. And we'll also talk later on in the show with Jack Ebling and Drew Sharp. We'll also talk with Steve Morgan. So a lot of guests with us today right here on AM 870 WKAR. Last night's game was a pretty interesting game, that's for sure. A pretty interesting game between Boise State and Michigan State, and Michigan State pulled it out, 74-70. Well, let's bring in our good friend Adam Ruff from the Spartan Sports Network and talk with him and get his take on the game. Adam, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well after the late night. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, pretty good after that late night. Were you surprised at all that the game was so close?
Well, of course. I mean, I mean, Boise State's a football school. So, yeah, I was surprised. But, you know, after watching that Boise State team, I can't believe they were picked to finish eighth in the Mountain West Conference. I mean, those guys are solid. That Mark's kid scored career-high 24 points, he's a good player. You know, and they've got a lot of toughness and a lot of speed. They're going to be a force, I would have to think, in the Mountain West Conference this year, a lot better than what was predicted. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, it was a surprise. And when you think about Gary Harris going down, I mean, they're 16 points a game. So if you put that on top of the 4 points they won by, that's 20 points. So maybe that's a little bit more accurate. I don't know.
Yeah, that was a hurt, very big hurting for, you know, especially when we found out he went down in the first minute of the game. That was very unexpected. And hey, thank goodness they pulled it out. I mean, they played good enough defense, and they had enough offense to pull it out. Denzel Valentine played a very good game, and so that was key to it. And of course, Keith Appling had his best game ever, and he played 40 minutes, which was incredible. Tom, as we know, Tom doesn't usually play guys for the whole 40 minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, what's he going to do now? I mean, they're essentially down to three guards until Travis Trice gets back. I mean, it's just Keith Appling, Denzel Valentine, and Brandon Kearney, and I guess maybe you could lump Russell Bird into that, but essentially three guards, and that's definitely not a good thing. I mean, it is good that they're kind of at the point in the schedule where they should be able to squeak by pretty well, depending on how long Gary's going to be out. But I mean, that's a huge loss. I mean, Gary was was really good. I mean, the way he uses his body, he's kind of like the perfect guy that Tom Izzo's been waiting for from a wing player. You know, when he gets the green light, he shoots. He's not scared to shoot. A lot of guys have been in recent years, but he also loves going to the hole. He's a fearless guy when you're talking about going to the hole. And, you know, that's what you want out of a wing player. And then, of course, Tom's favorite, he's a great defender. So, I mean, this is a big loss. And so we're all kind of waiting on pins and needles to hear what's going to happen with Gary Harris, because he's proven to be one of the best freshmen in the country so far.
Oh, that's for sure. I'm really surprised that he hasn't used Matt Costello that much. And Alex Guana has shown some signs, but I just wonder, it looks like Tom's a little hesitant to use those guys, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a game after Alex Guana plays, you know, a bunch of minutes and he starts, he only plays 3 minutes yesterday. And I think about the only reason he played was because in that first half, Derek Nix and Adrian Payne got two fouls. And so there were those 3 minutes at the end of the half they had to play. And it's the same with Matt Costello. The only reason it seemed like he got in the game was because of foul trouble. You know, I think as the game went along and it stayed close, I think Tom was a little gun-shy to put those guys in the game in crucial spots. So that was a bit surprising, but I also think he wanted a little bit more out of Derek Nix and Adrian Payne last night, because they haven't been playing really well so far. I mean, AP's played pretty well, but he's been in foul trouble, and he hasn't played a whole lot of minutes, as was the case last night. So I think there was a combination of things as to why those guys didn't play. You want to see a little bit more out of Derek. And, you know, he responded. He was 3 for 3, didn't get enough touches, I don't think. He had 9 points and 4 rebounds. So, you know, it's just going to be a work in progress as Tom tries to figure out the rotation.
Well, before we let you go, tell us a little bit about what do you expect Friday night against Oakland University?
Man, that's a good question, Earl, because, I mean, Oakland, you know, there's a lot of motivation for those guys, you know. I mean, you talk about Denzel's Valentine's brother, Drew. He's on that team. He's a very good player, obviously. And then you've got the Bader kid, Travis. He's one of the best three-point shooters in the country. They're a tough team, and, you know, they've got good guard play. So when you talk about losing Gary Harris, that guard play is going to be very important. I mean, you know, you look at this Oakland team, you look at their schedule really quick, and you see that, you know, they only beat Texas Southern yesterday by 2 points. And I thought they were probably a little bit better than that. But, I mean, you know, they play hard. They've always kind of been a tough team for Michigan State to face off against. So it should be fun. And, you know, let's be honest, they played Pittsburgh and they lost to Pittsburgh in overtime as well last week. So, I mean, they're going to be a tough matchup for Michigan State simply because of the guard play. So hopefully Michigan State doesn't get in foul trouble in that game, and we could see another close one.
Okay. Well, we'll see you on Friday night, my friend.
Hey, sounds good. I'll be there. Have a good Thanksgiving, Earl.
Okay, you too. We'll talk to you later, Adam. And that's a good friend, Adam Ruff, and from the Spartan Sports Radio Network. The time, 12 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, right here on AM 870 WKAR. In last night's game, Tom Izzo talked about, because I asked Tom Izzo, how good was the defense last night? And this is what he had to say.
Wasn't very pleased early. I thought in the second half we defended, you know, much, much better. We didn't handle the dribble drive. A little disappointed because my assistants did a hell of a job on the scouting report. I think every one of you even figured out that number two goes left, and we didn't do a very good job on that. But other than that, I thought we did a pretty good job defensively. You know, I don't know what we're going to do with the elbow thing. I'm struggling with that, but pretty good job defensively for the most part, and covering a very difficult offense to cover with some guys that can shoot it.
Oh, that's for sure, because they could shoot the ball, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And if you want a chance to win tickets, we'll be giving away two pair of tickets today to the Michigan State Oakland game coming up Friday night. Give us a call at 517-884-4783. 517-884-4783 for your chance to win tickets to the Michigan State-Oakland game coming up on Friday night. Hey, give us a call. And also, we got to tell you about tonight's game with Michigan State in Albany with Coach Susie Merchant and the women's playing tonight. And here's what Coach Merchant had to say about Albany.
It's an interesting matchup for sure. We're looking forward to it. It's a team that really gets after you in the backcourt and has a lot of different versions of a press defense. So we're going to have to be at our best. There's no question about that. They played my former assistant coach on Sunday, Shane Klipfel, who's the head coach at Western Michigan, and are traveling to East Lansing here on Wednesday. And it'll be an interesting battle for us. And they've got some size. They've got a big kid inside that does a great job, and their guard play is tremendous. And they're a good rebounding team, as I mentioned, that presses. So they're a tough scout, and we're looking forward to it.
And that's the women they play tonight. They play Albany over at Breslin Arena. Give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. More importantly, though, we want you to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR. Now, if you want a chance to win tickets, give us a call at area code 517-884-4783. That's 517-884-4783. And you can win a pair of tickets for two different people for the Michigan State Oakland game coming up Friday night. So two people will be lucky enough to win a pair of ducats. That's for the Michigan State Oakland game. Once again, call 884-4783. That's 884-4783. Give us a call. Talk sports now. Last night, there was a big game played in the college level. Jack Taylor, who no one knows, shattered the NCAA's record for scoring. He's a Division III player. He scored 138 points last night. 108 points. Yeah, 138 points last night to shatter the Division I scoring record. And that's a lot of points. He took 108 shots. I mean, you're 58 for 108. That's a lot of shots, that's for sure. He made 27 of 71 three-pointers. And then he made all those other shots. And that's incredible. I mean, to shoot that many times in a game, and it's a Division III game, and he beat the old Division III record, the Division I record. He stomped down on the record for scoring the most points in a college game. So congratulations to Jack Taylor from Grinnell College. And you got 138 points he scored. He had the green light all evening long. He had shot 71 points. That's incredible. 52 of 108 overall from the field. And he added 7 free throws on 10 attempts. So he only shot 10 free throws in 36 minutes of play. So that's pretty, would you say that's pretty good? That somebody would score that many points in 36 minutes of play. That's got to be a pretty good effort. So congratulations to him, Jack Taylor from Grinnell College, Division III school. Once again, 138 points. He took 108 shots. That's what amazes me, that a guy could take 108 shots and they let him get away with it. And he said he had all his teammates' blessing. Yeah, he saw them. They were happy for him. They were geeked up. They were pumped up. And they were glad that he was able to get the record. So it's good that you have that many players who are really unselfish. I mean, that's what players are taught to play the game unselfishly for the most part. They teach it, they learn it, but somehow it ends up they end up being a lot more selfish players somewhere down the line. How you learn to play the game is not how you play the game. You know, if you learn how to play it unselfishly, you would think that you would still be an unselfish player. But a lot of times you're not an unselfish player and you become a selfish player, which is unfortunate, but that's the way it goes. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got someone on the phone now. We got hello, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Earl?
Okay.
All right. You know, the kid only averaged about 16 points a game, because after I saw it last night, after it happened, I went to the, you know, kind of Googled a little stuff. You know, they beat a school called Faith Baptist out in Iowa. It was a, mm-hmm. you know, Iowa game. And the kid for Faith Baptist had 70.
Mm.
So that, you know, you kind of know some of the, you know, because the team that lost, Faith, you know, had lost to Grinnell, scored 103 or 109 points themselves.
Mm.
So, you know, it's a small Christian league, but you know, I think the kid only averaged about 15, 16 points a game, the Taylor kid, before whatever, you know, he did last night. You know, because, you know, like I said, when I saw it went over the internet, I did a little Googling to see who they were actually playing, and, you know, and all of that. Mm. So yeah, so no, it was a private league,
yeah.
You know, but 138 points is 138
it
points.
Is. Exactly.
Yeah, he was on fire. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jody. Hey, we'll talk to you later. Yeah, 138 points. Yeah, that's a lot of points. You're unfair. You have to be shooting well to score that many points. But he put up 108 shots. I probably couldn't get 40 points. I might could get 30 points if I shot it 108 times. I don't know. I don't know. You put up that many shots, you would think you'd get at least 30 to 40 points, at least 108 shots. I think most people would be able to get like 30 to 40 points. I don't think I could. I know I couldn't get 100 points, but somebody could. So some of us could if we play enough. If you play enough basketball, I haven't played any basketball in years, so that I couldn't score that many points. But that's something. Well, I'm looking at the box score from last night's Michigan State game, and State pulled it out 74-70, and Keith Appling had a nice line. He scored 22 points. He pulled down 5 rebounds, and he had 7 assists and only 4 turnovers. He had 3 steals. And Brandon Dawson, who played a good all-around game, scored. He had 10 points, and he played 33 minutes. And he had 3 steals, 3 assists, and 5 rebounds. So he had a good all-around game, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call at Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR in East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. It's 21 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Alan West's concession completes the electoral scorecard. Congress celebrates Turkey Day, a drumstick away from the fiscal cliff, and Ron Paul embraces what he calls the deeply American principle of secession. I'm Neil Conan, political junkie Ken Rudin, plus an exit interview with outgoing Ohio Democrat Dennis Kucinich. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon, I'm Scott Pohl. Our high today in the mid-50s and becoming mostly sunny, mostly clear, with an overnight low of 41 tonight. A mix of sun and clouds for Thanksgiving Day, the high 61. For Friday, a lot cooler, mostly cloudy and windy with a chance of rain and snow, the high in the low 40s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. And our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, I want to wish you all a very, very happy Thanksgiving. And now we're going to bring in our good friend Steve Morgan. And Steve is going to tell us what to do after we finish eating on Thanksgiving. I just want you all to just don't overdo it. But so let Steve bring in and talk about getting a little fit after we have our dinner and we're sitting down. And maybe we shouldn't just be having we shouldn't sit down after dinner. So Steve, what should most of us do after we've had our dinner?
Oh, Earl, first of all, on a day like today, you can stop trimming the tree and you need to get out and climb the pump.
Uh-huh.
You need to get out and get walking, and I don't like walking, but I'll split the difference with some of these stubborn folks.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can get out and get a good walk in with a loved one today, we got family and friends and loved ones coming in from out of town. Today is a wonderful day to hit that river trail, get downtown, look at the decorations. They're still up from Silver Bells. It's gorgeous downtown. It's so doggone festive, and you can get a little sweat going with just a sweatshirt on today.
Yes, you could. That would be something very good to do. And yes, we don't want to spoil the people's Thanksgiving or anything. We want you to have a good time and enjoy yourself. And just maybe have a little bit of exercise.
Well, what I want to encourage people not to do is keep contemplating the whole exercise thing by waiting and pushing it off to the new year, because we're at that time of year.
Yep.
Where everybody keeps saying, one more piece of pie because I'm going to start working out January 1st.
Uh-huh.
And so somehow between the 20th of November, or excuse me, the 22nd of November, which is tomorrow, and January 1st, we're just not going to do anything. We're just going to let it all stockpile until then, and then we're going to go out and start this vigorous exercise program. I got news for you folks. That's a faulty plan.
Yep.
That's a very faulty plan. It's suspect at best.
I wonder why. Do you have any idea why people do it that? I mean, I've been hearing that all over the years. Why do people do that?
Earl, I've been in this business for 21 years as a professional, and I used to like to work out before then, and this has not changed. And once again, my background, and for those of you who haven't listening, who don't know me as much, I've lived around the world, and it doesn't change people. It's not necessarily a cultural thing. It's not just limited to North America or the United States. And it's not a race thing. It's just an environmental thing, I think. I really do. If I could toss that out there right now, it's your environment that allows you to get away with murder.
Oh, that's a shame.
Mm-hmm. We got to do something, really. We know we're going to have the pie. We're going to have salad, but we're not going to cut thin on the dressing. And that's just a precursor to the main meal.
You know, Steve, it's so disappointing here. As you know, the people in the state of Michigan, we don't have, you know, the best eating habits around, you know, the United States, as they do in all the states. And the Michigan is one of the worst states, is, you know, with people gaining weight and such. I know you talked about changing it, but that's awful hard to do because it's hard. I know I've come to realize it's so hard. It's hard for people to change their eating habits that they've developed over the years.
Well, it is, Earl, and, you know, once again, we're getting a little bit out of my realm, which is, mm-hmm. you know, more of a dietetics perspective, but I guess I should elaborate on some of it because people don't seem to be listening to the dietitians in the world these days, that's for sure, because if they were, we wouldn't be in this kind of predicament with regards to obesity chasing us all down.
Yeah.
Well, some of us, the majority of us, I should say.
Yeah, it is.
And just a few helpful hints. You know, because we have to do this for Thanksgiving, or we do it annually. We don't miss, and we always try to give those listeners that are out there some helpful hints. But before I get started on that one, I got a couple of little guys out there that were at Coach Gregory's football camp.
Oh, okay.
And they were with Coach Hayward. One is Little B. Sometimes we call him Morgie B. He was over there, and these guys eat well, and they train hard, and they're 7 years old, people. That's why I'm bringing them up. They're 7 years old, and they're already training, and they're already turning down red meat at the table, okay?
Yeah, that's
so
good.
For you adults out there, as I was going to get into the helpful hints and the things to do, keep that in mind, and I wanted to just prime you with that, okay, that there are kids out here who are actually practicing what I'm preaching to you, so it can't be that doggone hard is what I'm getting at.
No, it can. Hopefully more people will take us up on that and take you up on it. That's for sure.
You know. But the water, Earl.
Yeah.
Earl, the top three things. Let me run these down so we can give people a little helpful hints. So if you got your writing stick, as I heard one of the plumbers this morning call it, you need to break out your writing stick and write this down. The first thing, water. Water, water, water. Drink as much water as you can possibly dilute your alcoholic beverages with and your saturated fats and increase carbohydrate intake. Dilute it all with water in hopes of filling you up and curbing your appetite. Hello. Mm-hmm. Number two, don't have dessert. That's right. Not a little bit of dessert, just no dessert this year. Have a bigger main course, which is normally healthier and better for you than dessert anyway. So indulge in some more turkey instead of having five pieces of pumpkin pie. Okay. And finally, number three. Now, you can do 10. You can do 20. I've seen lists with the top 50 things to do at Thanksgiving. Come on, be for real. You know no one's going to do 50 things, nutritionally speaking, on Thanksgiving, one of the biggest eating days of the year. Okay, so let's not even try that. So we're going to keep it to three, Earl. First one was water. Second one was?
No dessert.
No dessert. And the third one, probably the easiest one to do, get up earlier.
Oh, okay.
Get up earlier and get your metabolism started sooner that day so that you're burning calories at the time of the meal. Okay?
Yeah,
as opposed
sense.
To sleeping extra because you didn't have to work or you're just going to lay around and watch a few of the Thanksgiving Macy's parades. Get up earlier. And if the weather's nice, get outside with the family and the kids and start playing some lawn darts or some horseshoes or anything like that to get it started before the main course. And those are three easy things to do, especially with the weather being so conducive to that third one.
Yeah, the weather is very, very nice. Well, yeah, I can see those are three easy things. I'm drinking a ton of water already, so that which I need to do. So I've been doing that. That's great. So no dessert, that won't be a problem for me. And getting up earlier, yeah, I can do that. I think that's three things that I can handle.
Outstanding, Earl. See, that's how simple it is, people. I mean, you run down your list and you see what you do and see what you can change and whatnot, but at least try one or two of them. If you can't, hit the trifecta, then at least, you know, you can try one or two and tell people at the table why you're doing it. And maybe you'll affect a few other of your family members and loved ones.
Yep. Hey, well, let's talk about some of the other things. We haven't talked about any the weight-bearing things, so let's talk about those, Steve. What should they do if someone wants to go to the gym and do a little workout or work out at home? What should they do?
Well, first of all, to go work out right after you eat is the wrong thing to do, especially with the average-sized meal that Americans are having on tomorrow, on Thanksgiving. So what you want to do is you want to either work out before or at least an hour and a half to 2 hours after, and let some of the digestion and start some of that blood free up from your belly, from your gut, and then it'll be better off to carry oxygen to the working muscles. So that's a better, that's a more efficient way of doing exercise on Thanksgiving. Either early in the morning, get up and do something like we already suggested, or wait a couple of hours afterwards and let your food kind of settle in there, and then get up and hit that exercise bike for 15, 20 minutes, do some push-ups or stretch. There's a number of things that you can do in the home. If you have an air ball, you know what really feels good is after gorging yourself like a lion on the open plains, it's nice to lay over that air ball and stretch your gut out a little bit. Mm-hmm. That always feels good. So for those of you who have an air ball at the house and it's just normally a hood ornament on the carpet, you'd be better off laying over it if you're not doing any exercise with it. I prefer the exercise, but, you know, I'm in that kind of mood. I'll take a little bit of something versus all of nothing.
That's the thing, Steve, we said over the years. We definitely prefer for people to do something. I mean,
something.
Yeah, just.
I mean, I don't compromise for my clients with regards to walking as exercise. And for my clients that are listening in, they're laughing right now because they know how I feel about it. And for them to hear me even suggesting for you to go out for a walk and count that as exercise, that's a gift for me. That's an absolute gift, okay? Because walking is ridiculously considered to be exercise, and I'm sick of hearing it. Do a little bit more, for crying out loud, and get ready for the new year by starting it up a little bit earlier. Even if you do something tomorrow, then another day, maybe once or twice a week, up until the new year. But once the new year hits, try to get your plan together, folks. We'll be coming back on the air, I'm sure. And Earl and I will be discussing getting your plans together at that time.
Yep. You want to start off the year on a good foot. We know that that's what a lot of people do. They start out the year. Unfortunately, a lot of them start leaving after a few months. A lot of people have those good intentions and ideas, and they start out for the first month or two. By March and April, they start to fade a little bit.
Yes, they do, Earl. Yes, they do. And for those individuals that are listening and you started your program last January like I did, and you're coming up to the end, hang in there. Hang in there. You can go off a little bit and have a bigger salad than you normally would. You can increase your caloric intake a little bit over the holiday season. But once again, please try to adhere to your diets that you've been, your nutritional plan, I should say, not diet. My better half would kill me for saying diet. She's a registered dietitian. And, you know, we don't deal with stuff like that, you know, this yo-yo stuff. It's just better to be steady. It's just much easier and much better to be steady. And people around you, your friends and your family and your coworkers, get used to you not eating certain things, and they'll stop offering it to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is good, yeah, because a lot of times, you know, you hear a lot of times people will ask you if you want something extra. Like you say, if you get used to saying no all the time, people will stop asking you to take some of that extra stuff.
Absolutely. One of my clients owns a business, and it's quite large. They have 100 and some odd employees. And right now, during this time of year, they have everyone bringing in. What are they bringing in, Earl? Just tell me.
Desserts and such.
Yeah, baked goods, cookies.
Yes.
Everything is homemade. The candy, pure sugar cane. To go in the candy canes, you know, just great teeth rottener and glucose depletion type stuff that'll ramp you up and then rob you blind on your blood sugar. But that's permeating, businesses and a lot of different cultures deal with baking items and whatnot. Just be sensible with it, people. Don't go overboard. It's not good for the kids in any way, shape, or form. And once again, I'm cutting you a break for even sitting here suggesting that a little bit is okay. Okay, in all actuality, if any registered dietitian is actually listening to the show, I don't truly feel that way, but I know that people are going to go all 100 yards and in. If I can get 10% out of them, I'm happy with that.
Okay, Steve. Yeah, because it's a challenge. I mean, I know for sure, I've had high blood pressure and I'm finally starting to see it. I'm getting some results. It's getting lowered. And it's taken a while to get to that point. But I've really had to change how I've eaten. And I know other people have to change how they eat. And I know how hard it is to change. If you've been eating a certain way for a number of years, that's a big, big challenge.
Well, Earl, when I was coming through school, we used to call people that had hypertension and obesity and type 2 diabetes, type 1 diabetes, anything like that. We used to call you special populations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we had different plans and all this stuff for you. Well, now that's the majority of folks walking around.
Yeah, it is.
It's no longer a special population. You're just the population.
Yeah.
And so, once again, you will exacerbate your condition. If you take the holidays the wrong way, it will get worse that day. You'll have people that will spike that will end up in the emergency room because they didn't follow their medication that day. And people, if you know who you are, you know what classification of a person you're in. If you're taking medications, pharmaceutical intervention in any shape or form, stay true. Once again, get up a little bit earlier and stay on your plan. Don't let your relatives set you back and have you in the ER that evening.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's just hard for people to stay on a plan, isn't it?
It is. It's hard for people to say no. They consider that being rude. That's inhospitable. How dare you get up at 5:30 in the morning? We came all the way from Syracuse to be with you. Well, you're still with me. You weren't up. I'm up and back before you up anyway.
Mm-hmm. True.
So just continue. Get back on your plan, people, please.
Yes, and we do encourage everybody to get on their plan and stick. We want you to be healthy.
Yes, we do.
All year round, not just during the holidays, but all year round.
And enjoy the quality of life when days like this pick up. It's so wonderful that you're able to get out and walk and enjoy the weather and use your legs and your extremities. And be happy with that, and just keep trying to increase it and maintain that kind of life. But you don't maintain it if you don't increase.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so
that's
true.
That's another bit of an oxy. It's kind of confusing to people. Okay, mm-hmm. There is no biological organism that stays the same. You either get better or you get worse.
Yeah,
in order
true.
To stay the same, you have to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
So keep that in mind. I should come out with a T-shirt. In order to stay the same, you must get better.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes.
Thank you, Earl.
Okay. Hey, Steve, I want to thank you for joining me today and hope giving everyone some tips on how to just basically manage your food right during the holiday season. Try it right. And, just don't overdo it. Hopefully, we know some of you will do the right thing and try to eat right. Unfortunately, we know a lot of you won't do the right thing, but hopefully, that you can think about it, you can do it, and we want you to do the best you can. And if you can't do what you need to do, well, just stay as close as you can, be as good as you can, and do what you can during the holiday season.
That's a wonderful synopsis, Earl. Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. I couldn't have put it better than that. I just want to tagline that with: give us a call at 517-944-5100 at Maximum Athletic Performance if you need anything. If you're getting a jam up, go to our website. We got some information on there that may bail you out. You never know.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Steve.
You got it, Earl. Take care. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and everyone else out there. It's 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
By now, post-traumatic stress is well established as a psychological diagnosis of war, but some specialists say it doesn't go far enough, that when members of the armed forces do or see things on the battlefield that violate fundamental beliefs about right and wrong, that too can damage the psyche. I'm Neil Cunnan, Moral Injury, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Becoming mostly sunny with a high today of 55. Tonight will be mostly clear and the low will be 41. For Thanksgiving Day tomorrow, the high 61 and a mix of sun and clouds. Then a lot cooler for Friday. Windy and mostly cloudy, we could get rain and snow. The high 42. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, now let's bring in our good friend Drew Sharp. And Drew wrote a column today about the new Big Ten, as we have now the Big Ten has 14 teams in it, as Rutgers and Maryland have come in. So let's bring in Drew Sharp and talk a little bit about the 14 teams now in the Big Ten. Drew, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on?
Hey, not too much. You know, we got this new Big Ten. I know. We were all a little bit surprised. I think you were a little bit surprised, too, that it happened so quickly and that it added two more teams already.
Well, you know, it's not a surprise that they are expanding again. Because, yeah. You know, even though they said they were done at 12, no one really bought that. They're going to keep expanding. Mm-hmm. The timing of it is what struck me as interesting, that I cannot recall there ever being a time where the Big Ten would ever do anything that would overshadow the Ohio State U of M game in the days before. Now, they want that to be the main show, get everyone's attention. But the fact that they felt compelled to make this announcement now, while, you know, right before the final, the BCS rankings, it comes across to me as an opportunity for the yeah. Big Ten to show the country that, you know what, we know we stink football-wise, but the one strength they have left is its television markets. And the fact that you're adding the New York market, which, again, they don't really care about college football, and the Washington, D.C. market, which they don't care that much about college football either. The fact you're bringing those two markets in with Rutgers and Maryland suggests that this conference is all about trying to be a TV network now more than being an athletic conference.
Yes, and that's a shame because that, you know, that's what we're all about it here in the Big Ten is, you know, is basically football and of course basketball, and then they have everything else. But now that they're really, as you said in your column too, they really went for the money, didn't they?
Oh yeah, I mean that's no mm-hmm. surprise. I mean mm-hmm. they're a business. Mm-hmm. This is what you want to do, but you know don't treat us like idiots that you're trying to do this from an academic standpoint or from an athletic quality standpoint, because Maryland and Rutgers add nothing to this conference athletically. Not one damn thing. All they bring, these are two athletic programs that were broke, and what they've done, instead of having the taxpayers of Maryland and New Jersey pony up, what they're doing is basically applying a Big Ten tax on everybody on their cable bills over the next 4 or 5 years. That It's going to be packaged in such a way that even if you don't want the BTN, you're going to be stuck getting it. Because I'll tell you this, Fox owns a big piece of BTN.
Right.
And don't be surprised if they tie in Fox News, FX, other Fox properties into buying BTN into that package where, you know, you may not want the sports package, but you're going to have mm-hmm. no choice but to get it at a premium price. And that's how, you know, that's how they feel they're going to make their money.
And that's something that, you know, a lot of people have been rallying against for years, you know, have to pay for things that they don't want. It's not a la carte. A lot of people wish it would be a la carte. Then you could just pay for what you want,
right.
Which would be good. And I don't think we'll ever see that day, will we?
No, you're not going to see that. It'd be like in politics. You know, mm-hmm. the presidents always say they want a line item veto. I can just scratch off what I don't want out of a spending bill. That's not the way it works. You know, they put it all together. It's like I said, they put all the pork in there at the same time. So you're going to have to swallow a lot of what you don't want to get what you do want. And that's what's going to happen here. It's going to be they're going to package it as a top-tier cable network. And you're going to be forced, even if you don't want it, you're going to be forced to take it at a higher cost. And this is the business. This is the way it is right now. And people need to accept that. They don't care about the fans who pay their hard-earned cash to get those high-priced tickets every Saturday. In fact, I think they're realizing that 5-10 years down the road, you're going to see a lot more empty seats at these huge stadiums,
yes.
at Michigan Stadium and at Michigan State Stadium, Spartan Stadium, Ohio Stadium. You're going to see a lot of empty seats because people are going to say, you know what, I've had it paying premium prices for an inferior product. I'll just stay at home and watch whatever games I want then because I'm stuck getting the BTN. So you might as well take advantage of it that way.
Yes, and now if you have that's the thing, though, too, Drew. Every conference almost has their own network. SEC's got a network. Texas has a network. I mean, you can almost just get – can't you just buy that particular network that you want? You may not want all the games and all the packages, but if you just say if you're an SEC fan and that's all you want, you don't care for the Big Ten or anything else, you'd probably just get that SEC package, wouldn't you?
Right, I'm sure you would. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, this is what, but all depends on who owns the majority of these networks. Longhorn Network, I believe, is ESPN. So that gets in Texas, in the state of Texas, that gets tied into ESPN. You want ESPN and all the ESPN properties, then you have to get Longhorn Network as well. Even if you don't want it, this is where it's coming to. Right now, you're going to be forced to pay more of your cable bill now because of these super conferences that are emerging.
And yes, so if you want a package from any of those conferences, if you're a fan of, we know why the Big Ten did it, because they want to get a piece of that Eastern market. So, you know, that was a heads up for them, and just to get them a piece of that Eastern market, the New York and you know, the Baltimore markets. So that's what they're doing. And so hopefully for the Big Ten, that's going to work well for them, and that'll bring more money in, more people. And they say it's going to be for that 2017 package. They'll be getting a new deal in 2017.
You're right. That's what I believe with ESPN and ABC. You know, mm-hmm. that they can put their product out there for the main broadcast. You know, for the main broadcast entities. But this was done primarily to improve the footprint of BTN. This is solely what this was done. I think this is what the next move are going to be. Look, you're looking at probably Georgia Tech, the Atlanta market. You know, you're tapping into that. You know, I wouldn't surprise to see them, that being the next move, because, you know, you just forget about trying to keep things as geographically pure as possible. That's done. It's all about trying to get as many big markets as possible. They don't care about quality. They don't give a rip about actual football quality. All they care about is getting a TV market that they feel can help trump up the price of BTN.
Do you see we're getting closer? I mean, it was talked about years ago. Slowly we've had not that much talk lately, but we should. It looks like we're heading towards that 4-16 super conference that was even, you know, we talked about it. You wrote about it a few years ago. We may end up having now that 4-6 super 16 conference, right?
Oh yeah, I think you're looking at that, because now if you're the Big 12, the Big 12 with 10 teams, they have to be aggressive now, and this is where, Earl, I do believe. The Big Ten did what it did primarily because of what Notre Dame did.
Yeah.
And pretty much telling U of M, and they're going to tell Michigan State and Purdue probably, that rivalry is done. They moved to the ACC. I do think that this is part of the motivation for them going after Maryland. Now people say, well, Maryland, why should that affect Notre Dame at all? Florida State and Clemson are the two reputable football schools in the ACC. If they see Maryland looking to, you know, to move regardless of the $50 million penalty fee that they have to, for leaving the conference, then they're more likely to look at going to the Big 12. Now, remember, the Big 12 was flirting with Florida State earlier. I see that courtship being renewed because it's imperative the Big 12 now get to 12 teams by 2014. So you're going to see them get more aggressive. If Florida State and Clemson leave the ACC, and all of a sudden that conference is crippled. You pretty much have torn them asunder. So then if you're the Big Ten, maybe your next two teams are Pitt, which is going to the ACC in Georgia Tech. Maybe you do that. You pick apart the ACC to the point where you leave Notre Dame with next to nothing there in the ACC.
That would be interesting, yes, because, they went over there and the ACC bit the bullet and just took because they wanted Notre Dame so bad. And they gave them a lot of concessions. It doesn't look like Notre Dame is going to be getting any other concessions, from anybody else. So if that becomes undone, what do you think is going to happen? What would Notre Dame do, do you think?
Well, Notre Dame then, again, I mean, their alliance with the ACC was, quote-unquote, non-football related. I mean, they're still an independent football, but a good chunk of their schedule would be comprised of ACC teams. You know, and then, again, it helps them if you could get Florida State and Clemson, some good ACC teams. But if you're dealing with garbage, if the only two reputable ACC teams in football are gone, then if you're the Irish, then where do you get good games again? Do you have to come back crawling to the Big Ten, go back to U of M, and go back to Michigan State and say, okay, all's forgiven. Let's reschedule games. So this is part of the problem here, and that how this whole thing shakes out in the next year is going to be interesting because the ACC is the one conference that's really, really on death watch right now.
Okay. Well, we got a fan with a question for you, and hopefully we'll get Jack on the line shortly. We got Apachu. Apachu, how you doing?
All right. How you doing, man?
Okay.
Hey, have a good Thanksgiving, Earl.
You too, buddy.
I'm going to call you next week, man. You've done a lot for me over the course of my life with your sports program, so I'm going to be calling you next week to say thank you. But I got a question for Drew. Drew, thanks for coming on. And here's my question. If you're going to have conferences that have as many as 16, 18 teams, if three of them decided to come together behind the backs of the NCAA, couldn't they do a coup d'etat because they would have some of the key cornerstones of the football program? I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Okay. I think what you're going to see is that when you have these super conferences of 64, 66 teams, they're going to separate themselves from the NCAA as far as the rules are concerned.
Yes.
Now you have to understand, the NCAA doesn't sanction any of the championships. I mean, the major college football was operated by the bowls in the major conferences. That's what spawned the BCS. Now, these programs have to follow the NCAA rules. Now, what you may see are some changes in the rules. That these super conferences will probably be a little more lenient on some of these things that the NCAA does not permit. Now, I do foresee that as a possibility.
What do you think, Drew, is going to happen with the SEC, which is a primarily a football conference? We know the ACC is really primarily a basketball conference. Mm-hmm. But what do you see happening with the SEC? I mean, do you see, because if they want to expand, they'll get whoever they can get. And we don't know how they play loosey-goosey with the rules. So what will happen with the SEC?
Well, does the SEC go after Florida State and Clemson? Because you have a natural rivalry there with Clemson and South Carolina and Florida and Florida State. Those two teams play every year. So, or do they branch out even further? Do they go after Oklahoma and Oklahoma State? So this is how it's going to be. It's going to be positioned right now. If you're the Pac-12, the Pac-12 has to expand. They got to add two more teams now. So they're on the prowl. Who do they bring in? You go after a BYU if you're the Pac-12, you have the 14, or do you once again make a play for Oklahoma and Oklahoma State to join the Pac-12? So it's it's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. But the one thing, the one problem that the Big Ten has with this is that they did not improve the quality of their football product, not one bit. All they did was further weaken it. And Earl, if this, if the rumored realignment winds up being accurate, that it's just Illinois that's going to move to the
other division,
to Legend,
yeah,
and you add Maryland and Rutgers to the leaders, and basically the Big Ten is giving Ohio State a free pass to the Big Ten championship game every year for the next 10 years. And, you know, it's just like they know what I've said for years. Ohio State is the only program in this conference capable of regularly contending for national championships. And if you're going to align the new conferences this way, the divisions in this fashion, as was rumored earlier, all that's doing is making it easier for Ohio State to get through the entire season and get to that championship game with no worse than one loss. And that's just making, that's what you're doing there is rigging your schedule. You're rigging the conference to favor the one team that you know has a decent chance of regularly contending for national championships.
Yes, and but they have Wisconsin, but other than that, you're right. It would be very difficult.
Penn State. See, when they aligned, when they drew these teams up, the divisions up, they tried to balance it out. That, you know, Ohio State with Penn State and Wisconsin being that fifth team of the main four, you know, that could make things interesting. So it was balanced. But then with the Penn State, the disaster at Penn State.
Well, we got Jack on the line now, so let's bring him in for – we just got him for a couple of minutes. So, Jack, how you doing? And we've been talking about the new Big Ten, but we want to get your picks here. We've got Nebraska and Iowa. We got a lot of easy ones this week, though.
Who's taking Maryland?
I'm going to take Nebraska next week.
And we've got, of course –
you guys take Nebraska?
Yep, definitely. And Northwestern Illinois.
I'm going to take Northwestern.
Yeah, the same. We'll take Northwestern. Drew, you going to take?
I'm taking Northwestern.
Yep.
I'm taking Northwestern.
And Purdue, Indiana.
Ooh, Purdue, Indiana, guys.
Is it at Indiana?
Yep. But no, it's at Purdue.
At Purdue. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to do this. This will probably kill me. I'm going to blow my brains out if I blow this. All right, I'm going to take Purdue.
Okay, yeah, we'll take Purdue. You taking them too, Drew?
Was it at Purdue?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm taking Indiana.
Okay. Okay. How about Penn State and Wisconsin? Is that Penn State?
All right, I'm going to take... Wisconsin.
Okay. Oh, shoot. That's one I was going to take, too. I was going to take Wisconsin.
You'll have a chance to get your game back on me. You're one game
okay.
back, right?
We'll take Penn State. How
okay,
about...
taking Penn State?
Yeah.
Okay, now, and Jack, you took Wisconsin.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to take Wisconsin, too.
Okay. What about Michigan State and, Minnesota?
All right, I'm going to ride with these guys one more time. I'm going to take Michigan State.
Okay.
Gophers.
I'll take a chance with the Gophers.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. And is that all of them, or do we have
Michigan, Ohio State.
Oh, yeah, Ohio State, Michigan.
Can't forget that game, right?
Yep.
Well, I'll take Ohio State.
Yeah, I'll take Ohio State.
And I'll take it
Ohio State. You guys each have two different, right? You need Minnesota to beat Michigan State or you can't catch me.
Yep.
Right. Well, you both took Michigan State?
No, I took Minnesota.
Earl and I took
Minnesota.
Yep. I took Indiana. State.
Uh-huh.
You got Indiana, and Earl's got Penn State.
Yep.
There we go.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys. And we'll talk to you later on. This is Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. Come back and join us on Monday with a brand new Sports Talk 870 right here on WKAR East Lansing. This is Michigan State University Radio, once again, WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a safe and a pleasant evening and a very happy Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.